No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome to the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I am joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We are doing a bit of a remote setup today, so bear with us if we have any bit of audio issues or anything. We just did the Joe Gaither show, though, and ran off without a hitch, so make sure you go listen to that episode, and you can hear us loud and live right there. I got a few topics I would like to get into on today's show. We're going to talk a little bit of recruiting as things are really starting to heat up on the recruiting trail for Alabama. You know, the summer period, you get to see a lot of official visits coming in, a lot of guys, you know, finalizing their top school lists and things like that. So Alabama has really started to pick it up a little bit there. So we will get into it. I also want to talk a little bit of LeBaron Filon. We've had some the rumor mill has been heating up just a little bit for Bama hoops, really. As we've seen some assistant coaches throwing off some tweets, we've seen the Burnerverse kind of running wild on Twitter. We're kind of just waiting to see if this is pointing toward LeBaron Filon, basically. So we will get into that, and then at the end, we'll spend a little bit of time doing a bit of Alabama softball and baseball update. Both teams still with a chance, I think, to host a regional, while softball a little bit more likely than baseball, but both teams still hanging on to it there. So we will get into it. Before we do any of that, I want to remind you all to go follow both Joe and myself on Twitter at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_. And go ahead, if you haven't already, like and subscribe to the podcast. And rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. And with that out of the way, Joe, how are we doing today?
Oh, doing great, Mason. And ready for the weekend. And just really, man, this part of the year when it's like, oh, baseball, softball, postseason, it feels fresh to me.
This part of it is, we're starting to hit that, like, kind of, you know, once we get past baseball and softball, we'll really hit that, like, dead period of summer. But I also kind of love it because, yeah, like you said, it makes you feel, it kind of gets me ready for the next year. I can sort of make my plans and start to look at, oh, you know, these are the next guys we're thinking about and things like that. As much as the summer is like the worst period for us sometimes as far as content goes, it also, I think, is nice to be a bit of a refresher for us. The first thing I want to get into today, we'll start on the recruiting trail, because like I said, the Tide has had a very busy week, very busy couple of weeks. We'll recap what happened last week. If you don't remember, we covered it on last week's episode. Alabama was named a finalist for 2 4-star prospects, linebacker Braden Rouse and wide receiver Samorian Wingo. And then also 2 5-star prospects, Brandon Arrington and Xavier Crowell, updated their commitment dates. Now, Arrington is going to be committing on the 5th and Crowell on July 5th. And Xavier Crowell did not give an exact date, but is just no longer going to be committing on December 31st. So it seems like maybe he is moving it up, hopefully, because he's choosing Alabama. He was at A Day last month. Everything I've read, everything I've seen about it since his trip here has been good reports. I think he really enjoyed his time in Tuscaloosa.
You know, looking forward to hopefully landing a commitment from him. But this week, the new news on the recruiting trail, you have two more prospects named Alabama as a finalist. Four-star athlete Roman Voss, number 12 athlete in the country. It's down to just two schools, Alabama and Minnesota. Now, he is a Minnesota native, so take that as you will. Maybe he wants to stick with the Golden Gophers there. But to me, that maybe is more of a – and I have not talked to the guy. I don't know anything, but this is pure speculation. That seems like maybe just a, oh, I'm a hometown kid, and I got to throw Minnesota on there somewhere. You know, if it was a top five and we saw, you know, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Minnesota, and someone, you know, it's not like I would feel a little bit more – okay, maybe Minnesota's actually in the mix, but with it just being Alabama and Minnesota, I am leaning toward he may be picking the Crimson Tide. 6'2", 225, he plays just about everything you could ask. Quarterback, tight end, cornerback, safety, really just a football player through and through. Like, I truly don't know what he projects as. My best guess is safety. But I really don't know. I think he's a little bit limited size-wise to play tight end, you know, being only 6'2". But the athleticism is definitely there. Like, he's got a pretty good hands. I was watching his highlights. But I also just think size-wise, I don't know what his role is as a tight end. Probably going to play a safety. But, you know, a little bit of, you know, again, highlights. But a little bit I saw, not afraid to come down and lay a hit. Maybe in the same vein as Bray Hubbard.
We love a hitter now. Oh, I think Bray Hubbard's turning himself into a fan favorite. If not for the physicality, Mason, maybe for this reason. Did you see he and Ty Simpson are collaborating on a camo deal, on some sort of camo apparel deal?
Alabama. Okay. Camo. I saw the like Instagram. I saw it on the message boards. I think I didn't see that it was Ty Simpson and him and his collaboration though. That's genius. That stuff's going to sell out instantly if it hasn't already. I might have to get my hands on some of it. Honestly, it looked pretty cool from the picture I saw. But the other top prospect this week, a guy that named Alabama a finalist, four-star linebacker Sincere Johnson. Now this guy is the number 3 linebacker in the country. And this one, I think, is much more of an open race down to Ohio State, Penn State, and Alabama. And he has visits lined up to all 3 this summer, as well as Oklahoma and USC. He has been in Tuscaloosa before, once on Junior Day in February, and then again on A-Day. Didn't get a chance to speak to him. Didn't get the chance to even see him on A-Day. I saw him from afar, but it was not one of the players I had the opportunity to actually go up and introduce myself to. But really talented linebacker, 6'3", 225, I think is one of those guys who kind of has the ability to play as like an edge rusher down, you know, with his hand in the dirt, but then also kind of stand up and be a, you know, drop back into coverage if you need him to. Just really versatile. Again, not really exactly sure what he projects as, is whether it's going to be, you know, what linebacker role he's going to play, but I think he has the ability to play a lot of them and, you know, just a versatile player. Going to be hopefully announcing, he hasn't given us a commitment date, but, you know, I would imagine it's coming within this calendar year, hopefully. So we will see whether it's going to be Alabama or not. Like I said, he's got another visit lined up at the end of May. So maybe we will get a decision sooner than later. The big name, though, the one that everybody is excited about, the one that I am the most excited about, the one that I just got to talk about at length on the Joe Gaither Show earlier, and I'm going to do it again here. Sadarian Morgan, the number 1 overall prospect in the state of Alabama, the number 3 wide receiver in the country. In my opinion, he should be number 1. This guy is, I said it on your show just like an hour ago, he is Julio Jones again, like Julio Jones 2.0. You just see it when you watch him play. He is incredible. 6'4", 6'5". He's listed by some people, you know, right in that range, right around 215, 220 pounds. Just an extremely physical receiver with very wide catch radius. He has really good body control. But on top of that, he is also like deadly in the open field. You know, you watch, again, it's highlights, so take it as you will, but you watch his highlight tape and he is juking guys out of their shoes left and right. Like, I don't know how he moves as well as he does for as big as he is. This is a player that I think Alabama really, really wants to go get, and it seems like he is hopefully high on the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I mean, you get a guy like Sadarian Morgan into Tuscaloosa, and you know, we've been talking about big body type receivers for Kalen DeBoer. All it's going to take is one of those guys to have six. If Derek Meadows has a good year this year as a freshman, which good is kind of, you know, up for debate what that would look like for a freshman. But you get some of these big body receivers having a successful season, you're just going to get more of them coming in.
Yeah. I mean, you had, you know, good crop this year, like you said. I think DeBoer has pretty obviously given us his archetype of receiver, the guy that he wants to go get, the type of receivers he wants for his offense. And he's making that very clear on the recruiting trail with the guys that they've been targeting. You know, I mentioned Samori Enwingo earlier. That's another guy. He's like 6'2", another taller, lengthier guy that can go up and get those contested catches, can be a target, you know, down in the red zone if you need one. But Sedarian Morgan, two seasons of varsity football for Benjamin Russell in Alexander City, Alabama, 106 catches, 1,784 yards, and 18 touchdowns. I mean, that's unreal. The guy is just ridiculous. I would have to imagine we'll probably get another season this year close to 1,000 yards. I think the way those 1,700 were split, I want to say he had, I think, 700 or so as a sophomore and then close to 1,000 last season. So he likely will produce similar to that in his final year of high school football. But yeah, just a guy that I think if you have the opportunity to go get it for Alabama, you absolutely have to make this happen. He is going to be an electrifying player wherever he lands. Hopefully it is with the Crimson Tide. Excuse me. The final guy, though, this week that gave us a bit of a recruiting update, four-star running back Jonas Walton, the number 10 running back in the country. This is a guy that I don't know if he is as high on Alabama as some of the other players we've just gotten through mentioning, but has named the Tide in his final schools. I think he was down to like five or six. Alabama, Georgia, really kind of just the typical. Georgia, Ohio State was one, I believe. I can't remember what the full list was, but another guy who is extremely productive in high school. Three seasons of varsity football, 4,700 rushing yards, 56 touchdowns, nearly 1,000 yards through the air. Really powerful running back. He's only 5'9", but he weighs in about 200. So he's got a small but very compact but very powerful frame. He is shifty in the open field. He's able to make guys miss, but he's also able to kind of barrel forward. And you know, if there's not a hole there, he's going to make one. Definitely a running back that I think, or you know, a type of running back that I think Alabama has been very interested in previously. I just don't know that they're necessarily gonna snag this one. He is set to visit on May 30th, so maybe we will, you know, see another update there. But as it stands right now, I have not seen a ton about him with his, you know, really just not a ton of noise on him to Alabama lately, like I have with these other guys. Let's see. That's okay. I thought I had one more. I guess I didn't. That's all the recruiting, though. That's really all the recruiting I had this week. Like I said, busy week on the recruiting trail. It will likely continue to be a busy month as we get through May. Big crop of recruits coming to visit on May 30th. Let me see. I know I had it pulled up here. Okay, let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think 11 players visiting on May 30th. Ranging, you know, 4 stars, 3 stars, 5 stars. Going to be a lot of guys here in Tuscaloosa. Hopefully, we'll be getting a big weekend out of that. But off of the recruiting trail, I want to move now into Alabama hoops because I think this is maybe more of a fun conversation that I can involve Joe in a bit more here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sweet. Looking forward to it. Looking great.
Yeah. Let's try our hand at reading some tea leaves here. Rumors of LeBaron Filon's return have been bouncing around for the better part of 2 weeks or so. Ever since really he goes on that podcast and says, "Oh, I'm 100% NBA draft," but you never know. Just kind of leaving that door just cracked open just a little bit. So you have this week, Alabama assistant coach Preston Murphy fires off the, which, oh God, this is going to get open up a whole other can of worms. The AI generated like Freddy Krueger. What was it saying? I don't even remember what it was now. I'm building a nightmare or something like that.
Let's see.
Regardless,
I don't sleep, so I don't have nightmares.
That's what it was. I don't sleep, so I don't have nightmares. And you know, everybody's radar starts going. No more AI. There's surely there is someone who could have made him that graphic. I hate the use of AI. I'm over it. We can't have this info invading our basketball program. Next thing we know, we're going to have like AI Brandon Miller giving us a pregame speech on the Jumbotron or something up top. But, you know, puts out the little teaser there. And the only thing that I could think of was the Baron Filon, but I did see some other people throwing names out here and there, but we're going to start with Filon. I mean, I guess really just what would the return of a LeBaron Filon mean for next year's team?
I think what it would mean is that you go into 2025 with the ball dominant guard already comfortable. You're going into 2025 right now. Like, who's playing point? Who is it? Latrell Wrightsill off an Achilles injury? Is it Houston Millett off, not so good knees? Probably not in either of those. Is it Jahlil Bethea? I think that's a decent. I think that becomes a pretty solid option. But if LeBaron comes back, I think it allows you to have a little bit more discernment with the point guard position, because obviously LeBaron's leading that, and then whoever is second, you can basically decide, hey, who's playing best lately to be the second point guard? Is it going to be Latrell? Is it going to be Aiden Holloway? Is it going to be Jahlil Bethea? Like, I think that if he returns, it just gives you a whole lot of flexibility at that second position at the point guard, and then that inevitably ends up giving you a lot of flexibility at the two and three.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really, like, it definitely boosts my confidence level a lot with this team. We've talked about how maybe this is not going to be the same kind of hyped up team that we saw this past season of, oh, they've got all these stars everywhere. Oh, they need to be competing for a championship or bust. I don't know that you're going to get that exact level of hype with this year's team, but if LeBaron Filon comes back, I feel so much better. Like, it takes me from like a 6 out of 10 to like an 8 or a 9 out of 10 with this team. I feel so, so, so much better because he's just so dynamic. Like you said, he's so comfortable. He can, you know, be that main guy. I think he showed us at multiple points last season that he has the ability to do that. It's just, it just all weighs on what he gets back from the draft. Nate Oates this week telling us he's hearing good things from the draft. Our friend Hunter DeSiver wrote it up for Bama Central. Let's see. I know I had the actual comments. Here it is. We're getting really good feedback. This is Nate Oates at the Senior Bowl Charity Golf Tournament in Mobile this week. We're getting really good feedback from the NBA. He, LeBaron, has got to go to the combine. He's got to test well. He's got to do well in workouts. From what I'm hearing, I think he's going to get drafted. Shoot, it will be a great success story. He comes in. He's not on anybody's draft board. He plays well for us, and he ends up getting drafted after a year with us. That's the plan right now. So, seems like Nate Oates is pretty much dead set that he's getting drafted. I don't know if that is just coach speak for I'm not going to, you know, show my hand at all because we're getting him back, but I don't know. I'm still leaning toward that LeBaron is not returning. So maybe this teaser tweet is aimed at something else.
Yeah. Is Boogie Fland in the transfer portal?
Boogie Fland is in the transfer portal.
That's what I see a lot of connections with this tweet.
Have you seen that Boogie Fland is reportedly garnering a $7 million NIL deal?
Oh, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Never mind. Boogie Fland, 13.5 points, 3.2 rebounds, 5.1 assists last year. A good player for Arkansas, but yeah, I saw reports this morning that he is allegedly
$7 million?
Yeah.
Just preposterous. Just go play with the Bants at BYU then.
Wildest part, I think it was Florida. Florida Gators eyeing $7 million point guard Boogie Fland. Oh, I don't know. Someone has reported that it's – yeah, okay. Florida's reported offer to Boogie Fland is $7 million. I think it came from an Arkansas guy. I saw him. I found it this morning. I can't remember exactly what it was. So take that as you will. I think maybe he's a little hurt that Boogie Fland is leaving, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. Grain of salt there.
If that is the case, though, yeah, Alabama is way out on that. Golly. I mean, what do you think Alabama's budget is realistically for snagging another player out of the train? Because what they, I was looking at it this morning. They've got right now, without LeBaron Filon, you've got 11 out of 15 spots filled, because you go up from 13 to 15 now with the new, you know, scholarship limit thing. So you've got four spots potentially, three if LeBaron comes back. So, I mean, you know, and you've got, there's some pieces out there in the transfer portal.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com. And for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yeah, I think that you're not spending more than $1 million on anyone, especially with what's in the port. Like, I think you're probably not.
I looked through the available guys.
You probably spent the money on Jahlil Bethea already. Yeah. I don't see you probably spent the money on getting Aiden Sherrill to return.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him making a huge splash here in the transfer portal at this point. Didn't the guard that they were after choose to go to Duke?
Maybe. Yeah, I think I did see that. I saw, now, you know, this is message board talk, so again, take it with a massive grain of salt. But a name that I have seen people throwing out there is this gentleman, Tyon Grand Foster from Grand Canyon. Six foot seven, 220, averaged 5.9 rebounds and 2.1 assists last season. Shot right about 40% from the floor. Horrible three-point shooter. Just abysmal. I think he's a career, like, 19% three-point shooter. So not necessarily sure what his role would be, other than, I guess, just get down low and try to body people up being 6'7", 220. But that was a name that I did see some people throwing out, and I imagine would not carry as hefty of a price tag. But Nate Oates, again, at that charity golf event this week, said that he thinks this year's team could be the best shooting team we've ever had. So do they even need somebody that can shoot? Maybe this guy is an option, because you do. I mean, you have the spots. I don't think, you're not going to play 15 guys, but it feels like you're wasting it if you just fill those with terrible players.
Yeah, and you don't want to bring in players who are not going to play and create, I don't want to, like, put this on them, but, like, create issues. Coach, why am I not playing? Coach, I need to be on the pouting on the end of the bench. if it's better to leave them empty and just have everybody rabid dog, hungry hippos going after it, then okay, leave them empty. Fill those last couple spots with some walk-ons that love Alabama and that just want to take some charges in practice.
Yeah. So I mentioned Nato's comments there on the potential shooting prowess of this year's team, and I kind of want to get your opinion on it as well. Because
the basketball player that they love, Cedric Coward, that went to Duke, Washington
State. Yeah, that's right. I want to get your opinion on these comments, and I have the full quote here. Nato said at this charity event in Mobile, quote, "We're going to have a really good shooting team. Maybe the best shooting team we've had since I've been here. Our bigs can shoot. Everybody in the front court. Really, there's not a non-shooter on the floor. We should have shooting everywhere. Our defense is going to have to get a bit better, but we're going to have good versatility and good shooting next year." The man said we have good shooting like seven times in that two sentences. I mean, I think he's right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first year where 1 through 5, it feels like you're going to have five guys that can pretty reliably make threes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that coach, this sounds a whole lot like we're going to win a national championship. Our goal is to win a and look, coach, I love
that. Yeah, I wish you'd not said this.
But like, what happens when "This might be the best shooting team I've ever had" ends up a two-game stretch shooting 20% from three and losing two games by 4 points apiece because he's jacking up a bunch of three? Now, look, in Coach Oates, we trust. The system, we trust. Can we get to the rim? That's my big question.
That's what I'm looking for as well.
Right. Can you get to bring back LeBaron Filon and get his butt to the rim, finishing at the rim? Can Aiden Sherrell play in the paint? I mean, I love the fact that Aiden's going to be a stretch five, and it's really like it's going to be a problem for teams for sure.
Sure.
And it will create space for Alabama's offense moving the other big out of the post to guard Sherrell's three pointer. But can Sherrell keep improving rebounding? He improved this year, but can he keep improving rebounding? Can he improve in the post, putting the ball back up at the rim? I think he needed to improve there last year. Like, great, he can shoot a three. What is the rest of the plan coming together?
Like I said, I think he's right, but I'm not really sure how much that I guess I'm just not sure how much that excites me. You know, I'm not really sure what that statement does for me. I want to see some guys that aren't afraid to get down and dirty there in the paint, and you know, get to the rim and finish at the rim, get rebounds, fight for loose balls. Feels like we lacked a little bit of that. I mean, definitely lacked a little bit of that this year. That was like the main problem with this year's team was your paint presence was still just non-existent most of the time. Paid all that money for Cliff Amori, you know, hyped him up so long in the offseason. And, you know, I like Cliff, but he just didn't really perform.
So yeah, it didn't give us – like, he was definitely good, but was he what we expected? No.
No. No, I think he was, you know, he was better than I guess what you had maybe, but not what you needed for sure. Definitely not what you were looking for, I think. Not what you maybe had hoped to get out of him, like you said. But, man, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this year's team. I really don't. Like I said, LeBaron Filon would change a lot of things if he does return. I'm going to continue to just – sit in the camp of, oh, he's off to the NBA until he actually announces he's coming back, because I don't want to play the game of like of sitting here waiting on it. I just don't I don't know. I love the shooting prowess, the shooting potential. I just don't feel great about any of these guys being really intimidating presences inside.
Yeah, I think that this young man that you've gotten, what, 7-footer?
No, Williamson.
Yeah. I just don't think the excitement is there as much as it was last year because of the unknown factor. This Noah Williamson kid, he might be right, but sure, he could be a bum. I think that the spectrum is very, very, very wide. And I'm excited. Of course, you need teams that can shoot, net coach. That's great. That's great. What about can you defend? Can you defend? Will you get into the paint? Are you not turning the basketball over? Let's tackle those three things over the summer. And look, he will be. He is. I'm nitpicking just for the sake of content here, but I'm with you, telling the fan base, oh, this is the best shooting team I've ever had, does really nothing for me.
Yeah, it doesn't do a whole lot. But that's really all the basketball talk I've got. We'll move off of that and we'll move into the Diamond Sports a little bit before we get out of here. I have to give the people a bit of an Alabama baseball and softball update. Softball this week unfortunately falls in the second round of the SEC tournament to South Carolina. However, still in a pretty good spot to host a regional from everything I've seen. You know, I watched you go to Bama Central, you can watch Katie Windham's video where she kind of discusses it, her brief just a minute video talking about the chances of Alabama hosting a regional. And she kind of breaks it down like this. Alabama is 37-21 overall, 18th in the RPI. And the top 16 will host a regional. Top 16 teams will host a regional. Now, RPI does not completely correlate there one-to-one with the seeding, but it's usually a pretty good indicator of kind of where you stand. And Alabama, sitting in there right around those teams, has a good chance to, you know, move three or four spots in that RPI. So they could very well find themselves as a top 16 seed hosting a regional again. They have a quad one record this year of 12-18, number 9 strength schedule in the country. That's better than some of the teams that are ahead of them right now in the RPI. So I feel pretty good about Alabama softball getting to host a regional this season. It's just don't know how I feel about them really advancing super far in this year because they've just not been able to find any bit of consistency.
Yeah, you just nailed it. I do think that you are going to make a regional. I think that you'll have probably a favorable chance to get out of that regional because of being the host. But I don't really have a lot of like last year when they beat Tennessee in the super regional. Hats off to them. That was incredible. Yeah. That was an upset. I think that they might find themselves in a situation like that again, winning a regional, going to another team's place for super regional, and find themselves a little bit behind the eight ball.
Yeah, but we will see. They, you know, like I said, they got the series win against Oklahoma, obviously, earlier in the season. They have put together they've strung together good wins here and there, good performances here and there. It's just no consistency. But anything can happen in the postseason. We will see what this Alabama softball team does. I do think they will, you know, at the very least be competitive for a bit here. Baseball this week dropped its last series to Vanderbilt, but bounced back with the midweek win over number 19, Troy. I believe I read from Will Miller that they finished the season now undefeated in the midweek games. So that's a great spot to be, especially with it being a ranked team, Troy, there. I think Alabama, as I was trying to read about it this morning, seems like they still have a chance to host a regional. Well, you know, we had talked last week about them maybe needing to win out in these final three series to get that chance. I still think there's maybe a shot if they can win these final two against Georgia and Florida. You can go read, you know, Will Miller's coverage of it this week from Bama Central. He's kind of talking all about it. But I went to CBS Sports and looked at the projections there. And CBS Sports is currently projecting Alabama as a 2 seed in the Myrtle Beach region with Coastal Carolina hosting. However, they also have Auburn hosting a regional. Alabama's only a game behind Auburn in the SEC. So the top 11 seeds of the SEC, they have likely to host a regional this year. And Alabama, like I said, only one game out of that spot. So going to be very tough against Georgia and Florida, but you do have the opportunity. You're at home tonight against Georgia, your final home series. If you can pick up 2 series wins here, I feel like Alabama may just be hosting a regional in both sports. And that would just be amazing for Tuscaloosa, amazing for both teams. Amazing for the people covering it. They don't have to travel or anything like that. We will be, you know, I'll be interested to kind of see what this baseball team can pull off. I think they are, when they're at their best, they're very good, but like softball, it's just inconsistent.
Yeah, you host a regional 2 years ago, and it was just amazing. It was so much fun. And I think Rob Vaughn is doing a really solid job with the program in an extremely challenging competitive environment. But I'm with you. When the pitching is on, you get the starting pitching that you got. Was it against I mean, you got really good starting pitching against the against Vanderbilt. You just kind of blew up there on Sunday in the last couple innings. Was it Hagen Banks that came in? But I think it's a really exciting time.
So we will have to see. That's all I really have for today. Unless you've got anything you want to throw at me, Joe, I don't really have.
I got one thing for you. I got one thing for you. That, off a little breaking news. Well, maybe not. At 9:36, so about 20 minutes ago, On Three Sports reports, as my dog is bumbling in my lap, reports a 16-team college football playoff is gaining support in the Big Ten and SEC, per Ross Dellinger. Okay, but listen to this. The bids would be 4 SEC bids, 4 Big Ten bids, 2 ACC, 2 Big 12, 1 group of 6 bid, and 3 at-larges. The Big Ten and SEC teams could have play-in games, 3rd versus 6th, 4th versus 5th, to get into those spots. How nuts is that?
That is insane. I mean, it's where the best football is, Big Ten and the SEC. So I guess it makes sense. But 12 is enough. We don't need more. We don't need to add. We don't need to keep adding more games. You know. We already dragged this past season out to mid-January. We don't need to do that anymore. Just please, 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 let's tighten up what we've got a little bit and stick with the 12, because I like what we have.
And you don't – these baked-in – well, you're going to have 4 – like, these baked-in bids for the SEC and Big Ten, like, yeah, we know they're the best leagues in college football. You shouldn't have baked-in bids. I'm sorry. If you got 5 SEC teams, because 5 SEC schools are the best, whatever, in the top 16, put them in. You shouldn't have, oh, we have 3 SEC schools, we got to get a 4th. I guess we're putting in number 24, whoever SEC school. Like, I don't like these automatic baked in bids.
Yeah, I mean, it just inherently takes away from the, we're looking for the 12 best team, like. Well, if you're not looking for the 12 best teams, if you have automatic qualifiers, because that you can't have any bit of parameter or anything other than just the 12 best teams. If you're looking for the 12 best teams, so that's what. Yeah, I agree. I think that's what it should be. I don't think I don't want to see a 16 game playoff. I don't want to see play in games. I don't want to see the SEC and Big Ten getting more automatic bids than they already have. Please don't change anything. Personally, we never should have gone past like 8. 8 would have always been good to me. I think 12 is even too many, but whatever. We're already here. Please just don't change it anymore.
12, I think, is a sweet spot. You get everybody that really could be a contender. If you're the 16th best team,
you're not winning a title.
And you lost, like, let's be honest. What was Alabama going into that bowl game with Michigan? 15, 16, 17?
Yeah, something like that.
Is that Alabama team somebody you wanted to see in the playoff? No, I know the Alabama team wanted them to be in the playoff. Okay, yes, you wanted your own team to be in the playoff. I get that. Great. I want my teams to be in the playoff too. But, like, did you really have any thoughts of Alabama winning the national championship, going and winning 4 games in a row? No.
Not a chance. Yeah, no, that would have been a disaster if that team had made it to the playoff. It would not have gone well. No, we don't need to keep opening up the playoff for mediocre teams to get in. It's happening across a lot of sports, it seems like, and I get it. It's a TV thing. It's more games. It's killing the integrity of the sport. But that's all I got for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to remind you all to follow me and Joe on Twitter at JoeGaither6 at MAWoods_. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. Make sure you also like and subscribe to the Joe Gaither Show on the same platforms. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week to talk more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama Podcast. Thank you.